Hello, and welcome to the Architects of Destination Advocacy podcast from Destinations International, the trade association representing destination organizations around the globe, brought to you exclusively by Relic Agency as part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. I'm your host, Andreas Weisenborn, and welcome you for checking out our podcast. For each episode, we want to tell the story of both usual and unusual suspects in our sector's history and the key advocacy moments for them. These stories are meant to tell the tale in full, covering many of our strategic issues and opportunities our sector faces, whether it be community alignment, destination stewardship, resilience, or actions based on values. We hope you listen in and learn from your peers. With that, let's get to the show. Hello, and welcome back, everyone. Before we get into the show, I want to do a small reminder to make sure hopefully everyone caught us a couple weeks ago for the Destinations International first town hall for 2023. If you haven't listened to it, I strongly recommend going and checking out our online learning center where it is recorded. But we did release our 8 core issues and opportunities for the sector for 23. In brief, you saw us announce that the key issues we're looking at is community alignment and engagement, destination stewardship and sustainability, value-based action, and then organization strength and resilience. Continuing with that and some previous holdovers from last year, we also wanted to look into, again, equity, diversity, and inclusion, workforce development, crisis response, and the growing evolution of digital platforms. Again, recommend looking at our online learning center to check into our most recent town hall. In addition, to make sure to make you aware of all our upcoming in-person events for 2023. Coming up first, next is going to be our Business Events Industry Week on March 7th through the 9th in National Harbor, Maryland, United States, preceded by Convention Sales and Services, also taking place along with Destination Showcase as well in National Harbor. After that, we're going to be in Greater Victoria, British Columbia for our CEO Summit, April 3rd through the 5th. Then the Big Show Annual Convention in Dallas, Texas, United States, July 18th through the 20th. Continuing with that, happening actually at Advocacy Summit is a combination of a couple different summits, all happening in Little Rock, Arkansas, United States, between October 9th through the 12th is going to be our Business Operations Summit, our Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion Summit, along with Advocacy Summit as well. So a lot there. If you want to catch us in person, make sure to check out our website at destinationsinternational.org to see all the upcoming events. We hope to see you there. So with that, let's get on to the show. So honestly, I think starting out in 2023, I think this is the first time in the first year, in a couple years, we can confidently say what a return to business events looks like for our industry. In the past 3 years, we've seen the ebb and the flow, the starting, the stopping, starting again of business events, navigating this pandemic and its very, very many variants, and also country-level regulations and mitigations around and surrounding those risks. But now with the added twist of political and global unrest, as well as climate change, what is left now is business events returning, but to an entirely new industry landscape shaped by policy, procedures, and people. And honestly, no one knows that better than the IMAX Group. And I thought it was important to now ask the question, what does success look like now? So please welcome to the show, Natasha Richards, Head of Advocacy and Industry Relations for the IMAX Group. Natasha, welcome.
Hello, Andreas. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And I double checked. This is the first time I had someone with the title of advocacy on our podcast with the name advocacy in it. So welcome to that one as well.
Well, delighted to be the first. I'd be the guinea pig. It's both a blessing and a curse. I think advocacy, it's a big word.
So just for the audience, would you mind just kind of doing a little bit of introduction to yourself, your role at IMAX Group, and actually the role of IMAX Group itself?
Okay, well, let me do that the other way around, if I may, Andreas.
Absolutely.
Tell you a little bit about IMAX and then my role in our ecosystem, if you like. So IMAX is essentially a global trade show organizer. We organize 2 shows for the business events industry. The first one in Frankfurt, Germany, launched in 2003. And our second sister show, which serves mostly the North American market, was IMAX America, based in Las Vegas, and that launched in 2011. And the key difference between us and other global trade show organizers is that we focus on business events exclusively. Mm-hmm. So we don't have a portfolio of many, many different types of shows. Our shows are organized for the global business events industry by the global business events industry. And almost all of our team come from the business events industry or from related fields. So it's absolutely imperative to us that our industry is thriving and has a future. Otherwise, we have no future. And to put together a global marketplace, you need all of the different aspects of our global industry to be thriving and successful. And I would say an important distinction about us beyond serving one particular industry is that we serve many different aspects of the industry in a rather an altruistic way. And our mission is to unite and advance the business events industry. So we have lots of different ways in which that we do that, but advocacy is certainly a major part of it. So my role, and I happen to wear many hats, but advocacy is an important one. So you can imagine that as a very fancy hat with a feather coming out of it. My role is really to advocate for our industry and to both support our partners in doing so and using IMEX, so that global meeting place and marketplace, as a platform for engagement.
Oh, I heard it first, everyone. Fancy hats for those who have advocacy in their title. So we will make that happen. Now, again, you all have a very unique and exclusive lens point on, as you said it first, the thriving of the business events. So I want to go back a little bit to, I want to say 2020, the beginning of it, before we even knew about coronavirus and whatnot. I just wanted to ask, what was your perspective on the future of business events before we hit a pandemic in the beginning of 2020? Was it optimistic, hopeful? Just curious, that timeline that, you know, got disrupted, what did you think was our future?
So, Andreas, you're talking about BC, before
before
COVID-19. So I would say from the business events industry perspective, 2019 was a high watermark for us. And I think you could apply that globally. It was a bumper year for business travel, for business events, for large-scale congresses. It certainly, I know, in North America was a bumper year for hotels being completely booked out, meeting space being used. And I think most of the global convention centers would say that they were super busy. And, you know, that segues nicely into what then happened when the world stopped.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a very old saying that you know, you don't know what you have until it's gone. And one minute you're business as usual, we are all carrying on the events as we always have. And then suddenly you cannot travel. Indeed, you cannot leave your home. And what does that mean? And suddenly we were faced with the inability to do business at all, the inability to meet. And for IMEX, it's pretty catastrophic in that we can't hold our shows.
Yep.
And as you know, the ramifications throughout the wider industry were pretty catastrophic because no one could do business, no one could go anywhere. And, you know, it was a pretty challenging time. For IMEX, we're very fortunate in that we are a privately owned company and we were able to be quite creative about what we do. We pivoted to virtual, and I loathe that word pivot, but it was a necessary thing. And, you know, we ran some virtual events really, you know, around the times that our shows would have taken place, mainly just to remind the community that we're still here. We still want to bring you together. Even if that's just, you know, for content and for that sense of togetherness, if not to do business. But really, that was the missing aspect in a lot of the virtual events that the industry then scrabbled to put together. And when we think about coming out, you know, that's sort of where you could see the light at the end of the tunnel, but the tunnel was still there. We were trying as an industry to work out how can we return to events? How can we persuade policymakers to consider us as non-mass gatherings? Mm-hmm. So, you know, the beauty of events is that they're coordinated. They have structure, they have parameters. And essentially, when we bring delegates to a certain place and time, when they're all together, we control what they do. And so there was a lot of advocacy going on across our industry to put white papers together, guides for reopening, so that convention centres, for example, could go back to hosting meetings in a very controlled and socially distant way. And so that really was the focus probably of the sort of latter tail end of 2020 into 2021. You know, it was quite a challenge in Europe because you've got lots and lots of different governments. The German government understood the impacts, but the reason that you could open safely with restrictions, but other governments were more hesitant. I would say that North America was ahead of everybody, and particularly the US, in reopening with restrictions, but saying, you know, we need to allow you to get back to business. But if we think about China, they have only just reopened, and that is an enormous exhibition and events market. So it really depends, Andreas, I suppose, where you are in the world as to how you experienced the shutdown and then the reopening.
Your comment about the light at the end of the tunnel, I don't want to say we are AC yet or after coronavirus, but did you all have any doubts or hesitations on, you know, not only business events returning, but how would they return? Yeah, I caught the, you know, your gist about how you feel about virtual, but just was sort of thinking, you know, in the darkest days of the pandemic, how were you all thinking about business events returning and if they would return as we previously knew them?
I think there was probably a period of, oh, good grief, is this it? You know, is virtual going to be the way we're going to conduct our business and our engagement in the future? And we all embraced it to begin with because it was new and it was novel, and thanking our lucky stars that it wasn't 1975 without the internet, where, you know, the platforms that we all turned to would simply not have been there. So there was a moment where we all embraced it and felt, you know, this is a wonderful stopgap. You know, we can see each other, we can talk, we can share war stories of being stuck in four walls with pets, partners, and goodness knows what. But the novelty began to wear off as the pandemic dragged on and as the restrictions came and went. But certainly in Europe, those restrictions were there for quite a considerable amount of time. And, you know, when you think about organizing something like a trade show, there are so many different elements and space is required. And it isn't something that you can organize on a pinhead. It has long lead times. And, you know, we had to cancel three shows before we were confident enough that we could run an in-person show in Las Vegas in November 2021.
Wow.
But in order to do that, Andreas, just to physically get into the US, we had to have a sojourn in Vancouver for 15 days in a kind of very comfortable and lovely quarantine before we could even enter the country. And a sort of advanced team of about 20 of us did that so that we could be there on site and able to make sure that the setup of the show was as we expected. And it was a bit weird after such a long hiatus, but it was wonderful. It felt like a homecoming when the show actually, you know, finally opened. And we were very, very grateful to the Biden administration for lifting the travel ban and the restrictions the day before the show opened. That was very helpful. And we had a lot of jet-lagged exhibitors, bleary-eyed the next day, but kind of running on adrenaline for those days. So
someone should have recorded that 15 days, probably make a good reality TV show in there somewhere.
I don't know whether we would actually want that to be broadcast, but Vancouver's a fantastic city, and it, you know, it's not a bad place to spend 15 days.
Absolutely. So your lens perspective, obviously in this past 3 years, I should say, it hasn't just been the pandemic we're navigating. You know, it's also been issues around sustainability and climate change, EDI, global unrest, which is our own elections, Brexit, wars, trade agreements. You know, business events is sort of stuck in trying to navigate between all of them. This is going to be a little bit loaded and a little bit of a long question, but I just want to ask you, in your perspective, how have you seen business events try and navigate these really new, complex, societal, geopolitical issues that we have to deal with now at the world stage?
Well, when you convene in the world, so we're talking here about international business events, you convene everyone, bringing mm-hmm. the baggage that they have and the issues that they have where they are. So we have to be aware of all of the issues that exist globally, the sensitivities. I think as a trade show organizer, we have to try and be as neutral as we possibly can and not to get involved in, certainly in politics and, you know, to make no allegiances one way or the other, but to do what we think is right. And I think the way you do that and the way you try to play the UN in this scenario is to give people a platform to discuss the things that matter, whether mm-hmm. that is inclusivity, having an equitable society, or indeed an equitable industry in which, you know, DI is playing a very important role, certainly from the perspective of welcoming destinations and the role of the DMO, whether it's, you know, advocacy in terms of our own industry. We have to try and meet people and organizations and governments where they are and try to remain as neutral as possible. I think the only example of where we really have had to make a stand is in regard to the unwarranted action by the Russian state. And as a trade show organizer, it is within our gift to say who can exhibit and who can't.
Mm-hmm.
It's an unprecedented step for us, but we have said that Russian state-sponsored exhibitors may not exhibit with us. So that is not a ban on Russian citizens or Russian businesses, privately owned, finding a way to exhibit with us or to be present at the shows. It's state-sponsored exhibitors, and we have said for the time being that they are not welcome.
Yeah. Go ahead, Natasha.
No, I mean, it is a stand, and you know, we're very sorry because it does affect our friends who do work for public enterprises, but you have to draw a line somewhere, and we're not comfortable with allowing Russia to promote itself as a welcoming business events destination with what is happening in Ukraine.
Absolutely. And sort of a follow-up question in regards to that. I mean, we're talking about a conflict that we haven't seen, at the world stage since really World War II. How have you seen this affect, or have effects on the global meeting market? I mean, you've mentioned what you've done at IMX Group, but just curious your perspective. Obviously, you reside in the UK. How have you seen this affect the global meetings market in regards to business events?
I think probably the greatest effect, Andreas, and it's really a macro effect, is what has happened to supply chains and energy supply, particularly in Europe. Europe has been historically and certainly Central and Western Europe very reliant on the supply of cheap natural gas from Russia. And, trying to turn off that tap has been exceedingly mm-hmm. difficult for Europe and for the EU. The sharp increase in global oil prices affects us all. And what it has led to most recently is this massive increase in inflation. And what that means is an increase in prices. So for any organizer, what they thought they were going to be dealing with in 2023 is now probably at least a third or double the price that they were planning for when the event was conceived. And that's going to be a real challenge for all of us. And that turbulence, that economic turbulence, is certainly going to last, I think, for the rest of this year. That's what most economists worth their salt are predicting. It might not be quite the recession and the catastrophe that some have predicted, but certainly there's going to be turbulence. But, that turbulence is particularly felt in Europe. And I know the ramifications are felt in North America. But if you are in sub-Saharan Africa or in Southeast Asia, the effects may be different. And, we must always remember that there are challenges and disasters going on across the globe. Mm-hmm. And the most immediate one is the dreadful impact that the earthquake has had in eastern and southern Turkey and northern Syria.
Absolutely. Your comment at the beginning, and one that I wanted to ask you to follow up a bit, is about how you see policymakers and their role in business events. I've heard you mention this before in some of your recordings regarding bringing policymakers to the table. I want to know if you could just elaborate a little bit more about how you see policymakers and particularly bringing them to the table to understand why business events are so important to destinations.
So there's an important distinction here that our industry would make, and that is to say that we see ourselves as different from tourism. Mm-hmm. So part of the visitor economy, that's where we come together. That's the kumbaya moment. But we are different. And this is the argument of the beyond bed nights, the mm-hmm. beyond counting coffee cups, where we talk about the deeper impacts about having the right event in the right place at the right time and knowledge transfer and societal impacts. And it can go quite deep. And I suppose the mission here is quite simple, is to bring policymakers to a global marketplace like IMEX, allow them to benchmark themselves against other destinations in the spirit of cooperation, and then to bring them together in a discussion forum like our policy forum, where they can have peer-to-peer discussions, what's going on in your place, and to understand how our industry can help them deliver their 2030 vision, their policy priorities for the destination, whether that be at a national level, a regional level, or at a city and municipal level. And all governments have those ambitions. What sectors do you want to grow? If you're London and you are specialists in fintech, well, what fintech-related events can you bring in that are going to enrich that ecosystem? What talent can you attract by bringing people to those events? And now with the context of increased ROI, Andreas, when we cannot just take for granted that we can meet globally, we must mm-hmm. make it compelling and worthwhile. You know, all these things feed into getting the right events into your destination and to aligning it to policy priorities. And, you know, looking at your existing infrastructure, how can you use the heart of your city? How can you think about events in placemaking and regeneration? And also, how can we tread more lightly on the planet? So how can we counteract the carbon that we're emitting to get to that place by doing as much as we can to improve the place so that it's better when we leave it than how we found it?
Where we meet you in the visitor economy is obviously, for us, it's desertorizations, DMOs, or CVBs. I wanted to ask, what advice would you give to a destination organization leader, CVB leader, on connecting those dots to why business events are so important to those policymakers? As a CVB leader, what would you sort of give as advice for them?
The advice is to align with those policy priorities. What are they in your destination? What are your politicians and your policymakers talking about? What is their vision? And if you can help them achieve their vision, then you are going to secure funding certainly well into the future and prove yourselves to be absolutely crucial in promoting the destination and also welcoming these events in. And that's going to be multifaceted in the future because it won't just be about securing the right event. It'll be about the value proposition of about the right destination. What are you doing in terms of sustainability? Many RFPs, certainly for the big global congresses, will contain a sustainable element to them. There may be a legacy impact that that organization wishes to have, and those can be quite deep. And there's some wonderful work by organizations such as Meet for Impact that are really working with the DMO, the CVB, the policymakers in that destination, and the organizers of the big events that might come to see how they can create a perfect environment for legacy knowledge transfer. And again, making the destination a better place when you leave than when you found it.
I mean, Natasha, this has been both incredibly insightful and extremely helpful. The sort of final question I want to lead to you was, what do you think success looks like now for business events, your perspective on the visitor economy?
That's a big question. I think we're still grappling with it. And I would say, honestly, it depends where you are. I would say success for the business events industry is having a seat at the table. And someone once said, if you're not sitting at the table, then you're on the menu.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when the pandemic hit and effectively we were shut down, we weren't even on the menu. We were just a nothing, suddenly completely sidelined and unable to meet. So there's been some fantastic work collectively in the industry since, some great alliances that have been formed. I would point people to the Joint Meetings Industry Council's manifesto that was developed specifically to articulate the value of the industry, especially when engaging with policymakers and politicians, giving 15 clear ways in which business events create a strategic advantage in economy and renewal. And some destinations are still in that renewal phase, but it's getting everybody around the table and having the same discussion and helping those policymakers to achieve their objectives and understanding, certainly from our perspective, that it's a Sisyphean task. He was the Greek consigned to purgatory who pushed his rock up the hill and at the end of every day it would come rolling back down. This is an ongoing effort and policymakers change, governments change, and you have to keep reinforcing the message and making it super clear so that they can understand. And it ties into things like your lexicon, Andreas, that I know Jack Johnson and his team have worked so hard to create, and that's now being rolled out globally. Use the lexicon, use the language of those policymakers and meet them where they are, and then you've got a chance.
Well said. That's a wonderful end cap. Thank you again for so much for being on the show. If folks wanted to learn more about the work you do and the work of IMEX Group, where should we point them to?
I would say a great place to start in terms of our advocacy efforts would be our main group website, which is www.imexexhibitions.com. And it'll tell you all about the different initiatives that we have to grow our industry and to support it. And anybody that's interested in getting in touch with me, Andreas, I'm on LinkedIn, or they can do so through you. Be very happy to hear from your listeners.
Wonderful. With that, thank you again for joining myself, Andreas Weisenborn, and Natasha Richards on this month's episode of The Architects of Destination Advocacy. Please make sure to subscribe within your podcast listening service to always catch the latest episode. To learn more about the work we do, please make sure to subscribe to our newsletter at destinationsinternational.org or checking out our content throughout the advocacy section at the website or speaking at one of our upcoming events. Thank you, and we'll talk soon.